How can we be countercultural at Christmas? Why is this time of year so distracting? How can we actually be more focused on Christ than consumerism? How is this a great time to share the gospel? And how can we minister and love those who find this to actually be the most difficult time of the year? Well, welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. My name is Brad, and this podcast serves to help the church engage better with God, His Word, and the culture around us. And joining me on this second edition of our Christmas podcast is Rob Goddard.
Christmas Rob Goddard.
Christmas Rob Goddard.
It is great to be here, Brad.
Yes. Yes. We're excited that we get to keep making these. And we touched on this a little bit in our last one that we did, but Christmas is distracting. Advertisements, it just dominates anything that we're looking at, watching, we're driving around, everybody's houses look different, these kind of things. And so why can Christmas be such a distracting time for Christians?
Well, I think we have to start with the reality that we live in a world that is anti-God, and that's biblical, yeah. So that's not surprising. We struggle with our own flesh. That is also anti-God. We are self-centered, narcissistic because of the fall. And then we have a demonic realm that's attacking us. And one of the greatest ways they destroy us is to disorient us or distract us from the things that matter most. So here's the danger, especially at Christmas perhaps, but certainly all of the time, it's easy to get our eyes off of Jesus and onto other things. And at Christmas, I think one of the great attacks that has come from the world, flesh, and the devil is to get us onto things that are good but not great, like family, like turkey, like Christmas gifts, and we could go lights. I'm not a big fan of lights, so that's not a huge distraction for me. One of my favorite sermons ever, Brad, was a sermon called Why I Hate Christmas Lights. So there you go.
Good to know.
Yeah, I quoted it. So at our home, Ben and Lori always put up the Christmas lights.
Right, right. So you're saying that distractions might not necessarily be only bad things, but there can actually be good things that can still really distract us, and that can actually be the demonic realm distracting us from what we should be focused on.
Yeah, in fact, I might argue at Christmas time, although somebody might disagree with me, that'd be fine, that they're the more positive things that are the most distracting.
Right.
So whether it's family, whether it's having fun together, playing games, whatever it is, right. When you look at Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, the call for us to run the race, it, like those men and women of faith that are in Hebrews 11, that call is not only to deal with sin, which just tries to destroy us, as our memory verse for November said, yeah. We need to wage war against our flesh, but it's also with things that are good but not the best. And anything that takes our eyes off Jesus, if we go to Hebrews 12, is actually a negative thing. So I think we need to use everything at Christmas to the very best of our abilities to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think Christmas is a time where there are a ton of distractions, right, including emotional ones, both good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not saying that Christmas lights in and of themselves are bad, but you're saying...
Well, Christmas lights, maybe. If
okay,
you
right,
said
for
turkey.
You, yes, yeah, turkey.
No,
okay, we'll
no,
use
no.
that as a different...
That's yeah. Christmas lights are also yes. fun. We yes. drive around and look at them. Yeah. No, I'm not saying any of those things are bad.
Right.
I'm saying that we want to use everything in our lives to remind us of the greatness of who God is. And if those distractions take us off of God in a consistent and long-term manner, then they've done the devil's work, not God's. Hmm.
So then how can we actually be more focused on Christ than this consumerism that just gets so promoted at this time of year?
Well, I think we should probably talk about how we do that all of the time.
Yes, yeah.
I think, though, at Christmas, perhaps there's even more distraction. So I think being aware of the demonic realm's goals and your own flesh and the world around you, I think awareness is really good, Brad. I think it probably starts there. Aware that the culture is shifting away from God, aware that there's this emotional, I suppose, depravity in our own lives, seeking joy in the wrong places, if you want to call it that, that there's a spiritual forgetfulness, all those things. If we're aware of those things, then we can build in reminders. We can use things like Advent. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. We can use church and things happening at church. We can have people around us that remind us of the greatness of the glory of what's going on in terms of God becoming man. So I think if we're aware and we build in reminders and then we start our day abiding in God, beginning our day, which I would argue should be all the time, but especially times where there's distractions like this, and then enjoy those distractions, but use them as an opportunity to share the gospel.
Right.
Light becomes an amazing opportunity to share that Jesus is the light of the world, or Christmas tree. So you can go with the Lutheran tradition. I know there's other traditions, but go with the Lutheran tradition where it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us on the cross or whatever. But take these traditions, these distractions in your relationship with Jesus and use them for opportunities to share how great the gospel is.
Yeah, or like you said, daily, this is something, Christmas time, I need to start reading my Bible, or Christmas time, I need to be more aware of this. But especially when we are aware that, I'm going to be more distracted. I'm going to run into this person in this season, and it's going to be more difficult for me of being proactive in knowing, hey, this is what I'm going to come against, and I need to be ready. Otherwise, I'm gonna be distracted in a way I shouldn't be.
You know, Brad, I wonder if we just take a moment now to just say, we talk about this a lot, but build into your life what we call Christian habits, whatever you want to call them, keystone Christian habits. And maybe now's a good time to evaluate yourself if you're finding yourself easily distracted, because these rhythms that you can build into your life actually will help you. So exactly what you said, if you just go, I'm not going to be as distracted this year. Well, that's nice, but be practical.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the most important practical thing? Well, it's to build into your life rhythms that help you grow in your intimacy with Jesus, that remind you of who he is and what he's done, that help you see every opportunity you have to show people the hope you have in Christ. So I think make sure that you are spending time abiding in God, reading the word, praying, preaching the gospel to yourself every day. Those things matter all the time, but perhaps even more when it's so easy with these wonderful things to get distracted and fixated with other things. And your emotions can get drawn in so easily.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get the gift I wanted. I got the gift I wanted. I have love. I don't know. All of those things can distract you from what matters the most. So yeah, I think what you said is excellent.
Yeah.
And maybe now you go, I haven't done that very well, so I'm going to have a rough Christmas. Okay, well, start now. Yeah. Start today.
And, don't make it a New Year's resolution.
That's right. Do it. Start today.
You can do it now.
and build in those habits that help you see that life is about relating to God and living for God.
Yeah.
And then overflow that.
Yeah, you touched on this a little bit, but what are ways we can use Christmas time to evangelize? You said specific things with lights and trees. But what are some other opportunities that this season allows us to bring the hope of Christ into people's lives?
I think that's one of the most important questions you can ask, because our culture is becoming more and more secular and less, at least historically, God-dominated. And that means that we have less and less opportunities to share the gospel with people. It used to be that we try to invite people into the church coldly. So at Cloverdale Baptist Church, we used to have a Sunday school program. We'd send a bus around the community to gather kids. I think now people would go, well, who is this bus? Where is it going? And we're never going to do this. It's just a different world. So Christmas does a number of things that give us an opportunity. First, I would just argue that people are more spiritually open. There's something about Christmas that is joyful and that is still Christ-centered. There's still all sorts of nativity scenes, those sorts of things. So just be aware that people are more spiritually sensitive. Now, in that, I would also say carefully that there's also a brokenness that happens at Christmas. You have an opportunity to minister into that. People are sad, especially if somebody's lost a loved one, a spouse, a child. Then Christmas becomes an opportunity to bring ministry to that person. So if we are more aware of the emotional intensity that Christmas brings, then that will allow us to actively look for opportunities to minister. But not just that. I think we as a church put on all sorts of things. Our largest attendance as a church is almost always when the children's program happens. It's Christmas season.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the resurrection season as well, but almost always Christmas. Well, there's a chance to invite friends and family. We'll make sure the gospel is presented to create a culture. We always talk here about a culture of evangelism, to create a culture where you're investing your life in non-believers intentionally, this intentional investment to love them, to minister to them, to get to know them better. Then you're inviting them into the opportunities. Christmas season is so good for that because, hey, why don't you come? We're doing a kids program, or why don't you come? This Christmas Eve service, we'll make sure that it's a service that's well done. Brad, that's your job.
Yeah.
I'll make sure the gospel is presented. That's my job. And then actively look for, so now if you're talking about how we do this corporately, not just individually, actively when you come to church on Sundays during the Christmas season, look for people, they're a little left out or they look like they've never been there before. And don't walk up to them and say, is this your first time in church? Rather say to them, hey, I haven't seen you before. I'd love to get to know you.
Yeah.
And you become a part of sharing the love of Christ. So I think probably the two seasons that are most important for us to use effectively as a church, which means you as individuals that belong to churches or belong to this church, is to use these seasons to accomplish that. So be aware, be intentional about looking for those opportunities, and they will come, and then use the church to do that and be used by the church to do that. So as you're investing your life in your friends and neighbors, invite them, include them, look for opportunities to be actively engaged in loving. And it, let's just say, for example, you go, Christmas Eve, I'd rather not come. I haven't invited anybody anyway. Maybe now you say, okay, I'm going to pray about this and I'm going to make sure that I go and I'm going to look for somebody I don't know. I'm going to look for maybe some grandparents I've never seen before. I'm going to show them the love of Christ. And if we do that together, the impact we can have will astronomically grow. I know it's the Spirit's job to bring people to himself or bring people to God. However, one of the main ways he does that is our prayers and our intentional pursuit. So I would just say this Christmas, as we look into every Christmas, but this Christmas, I believe God has placed you in a sphere of influence, people around you, where he wants to use you to show them the love of Christ. So be aware of that and look for those good works and walk in them. And then join us in doing that together by investing your life in non-believers and non-church people, inviting them into church settings where the gospel will be presented, and then actively looking for an opportunity to include them, to love them, to show them what Christian love actually looks like when you're here on Sunday mornings or other times that you gather.
Yeah. And there's typically around Christmas time, lots of meals, gatherings you might have. And for a lot of us, those are maybe traditions that we've had going back years and years. And it could be also something to just pray about is maybe there's someone to include, invite into my house during this season, or maybe a different dinner or something where you can say, oh, here's someone I know who they've just moved to Canada maybe, or they've just moved to the area. And I'm going to say, hey, let's let my family have a meal with you or something.
I think that's huge, or even an act of love. I remember a family in Houston that was anti-Christian, liked us, but we're anti-Christian, for sure anti-Baptist. And they needed their walk shoveled in the winter. It was around Christmas time. It was a little after Christmas, actually. But I remember Laura saying to me, would you go shovel the walk? I'm going, no way. Like, I just shoveled ours, and it was hard, and I'm exhausted. I'm an old man. Well, then I was an old man, but I was tired. So she called a friend who had a truck. He came over and did it. And we didn't say anything to them, but they found out three, 4 months later that we had done it. And that opened the door to gospel sharing and eventually to them attending Houston Fellowship Baptist Church at the time, but attending church and actually considering themselves as Baptists. So I don't know their faith. I hope they came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I know that her love, her act of participation in love made a difference in their lives. So you can make a difference in people's lives, opening your home for sure, looking for active ways you can love them for sure. So yeah, and I think Christmas is the best time. Christmas resurrection season, the best season culturally to do that.
Yeah, that's great. There's, as we mentioned, another side of Christmas where in amidst all the joy and the fun of what we see around us, there are people who find this to be the most difficult time of the year because, they don't get to experience that joy and happiness with someone who they once had in their life and now they don't, or just other stressor coming around during this time. So how do we love those who find this to be such a hard time of year?
You know, that's a really important question, Brad, because there are a lot of people. I didn't understand this early on in ministry because for me, Christmas is always joyful and still is joyful. But for some, it's the hardest time of the year. In fact, one of our staff members shares that with me. So I think we have to be aware that our experience isn't the same as everyone else's experience. So if you're very sad, it's not the same as everyone else. If you're very happy, it's not the same. So just to be aware that we're here to minister to others. So as you notice people who might be down at Christmas, I suppose I would even say that stronger, look for people who might be down at Christmas. There's some that even won't come to Christmas services because they're depressing for them. Actively look for those people and don't rush to fix sorrow. Don't jump in and okay, here's the theology of suffering. But be with them and allow them to talk. Often we talk about this in counseling is allow them to share their story. Weep with those who weep. There's not a quick fix if you've lost someone, especially if you've lost them around Christmas, or if you were in a home that didn't celebrate Christmas or couldn't or hurt you at Christmas or whatever. There's so many stories. There's a place for weeping and grieving with those who grieve, even if it's confusing for those of us who love Christmas. So take the time in that awareness to minister effectively in an emotional way and then never stay there. I often talk about we want to move from the depression of grief to the delight of grief. And people go, what does that even mean? I think some grief is so deep that you can't ever get over it until we go to heaven. But you can get through it. And what I mean by that is that grief or pain or suffering in the sovereignty of God is for a purpose. And so what we want to do as quickly and gently as we can is help people to see that God never wastes suffering. And we can bring the hope of Jesus graciously and gently in so that those who are hurting can take that pain and become more intimate with Jesus, experience his peace, presence, and power, and then use that pain to grow closer to him and to reach others. I think one of the greatest hopes that we have, and this is for anyone, I'll say this to anyone hurting, but at Christmas especially, but I suppose anytime, is that there is no circumstance in our life, if we're children of God, that he won't take and use for our good and his glory. That's a promise, Romans 8, 28 and 29. That's a promise. Our good meaning conformity to Christ and his glory, the supremacy of Jesus and all things. And Brad, that's hard to believe sometimes, sometimes you just need to weep.
Yeah.
But it's true. And so we need to remind ourselves that although that grief might stay, that grief has a purpose and God won't waste that purpose. And so I would say the third is if you've wept with them, you've been aware of who they are, now you're helping them to find hope in Jesus and the sovereignty of God and the greatness of his love and experience that power and that love in the presence of Jesus. And then to actively for them, so for you to minister to them, but for them to look for reasons as to why God would have allowed them to go through those things or to use their pain to be an encouragement and blessing to others. Pain makes us very, very self-centered. Mm-hmm. Christ-likeness makes us very, very God-centered or even others' ministry. So to help them in their pain to become Christ-centered, not only will that relieve their pain or move them from the devastation of grief to the delight of grief, not only will it do that, but then it'll also allow them to see that the purpose that they're accomplishing is a privilege and for them to actively engage in that purpose.
Yeah, and we can do that in the church. I think if we've had those experiences in our own lives of maybe this season before or just other times of the year where you found it really difficult of knowing, oh, there's going to be other people like that in the church. And
yes.
So you have an incredible opportunity. We all do. But if you have walked through that season, you have an opportunity to love them in a way that might be just a little bit harder for other people to do because you can talk how they are currently talking. You know what they're currently going through, and you can love them through a really difficult season.
It's actually what the Bible teaches, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the main purposes of our suffering is to be an encouragement and blessing to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of the church is for us during these times through times where people are suffering is to come together and, like you mentioned, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so allow the church to be that for you. Meet with someone who can help you with that in the church and let this community of believers who have been changed by what Christ has done for them help walk you through this, help point you towards what truth is during a season where there is a lot of lies that, oh, this is just happiness in life that we can pursue because it's Christmas and there's family and joy. But there's a lot of difficulty actually during this time. And so let the truth of Christ, let those who are experiencing it maybe differently than you remind you of those things and lead you towards that.
Yeah, Christ has come. It's real. And the ministry we can have and the ministry people can experience is from him and for him. Mm-hmm. And if we make Christmas all about Jesus, which is really the point of this podcast,
then
we can make our pain all about Jesus too and our ministry to those in pain all about Jesus and really live a radically Christ-centered life.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a reminder, we'll probably say this probably every podcast, but let this season be one where we all reorient to be looking at Christ, not looking at what this culture is promoting or what the world around us is saying, hey, this is what you need to be so excited about this season, but be excited about Christ, who he is, what he has done, and what you've experienced because of that, because that is going to be what will surpass any joy that can come from the joy of Christmas, and it also overcomes any sadness that also might come through this season of Christmas.
So you're telling me we should fix our eyes on Jesus?
Yeah, that might be it a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that will conclude this edition of the Cloverdale Baptist podcast. We are excited to continue these as we head through December here. And so we will hear from you guys next time.